Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
You know, what's funny about that is, like, Sue knows this, so we're on remote. Ethan's back there in the studio running the board. I usually run my board, and I hit those little things, and I never hit that one, Sue. I never press that one because I think it's so dumb, and I don't have a good memory.
Why do you think I hit it, Mark?
Jane, I'm just saying. I'm just saying, not that. I picked the song. I'm talking about the liner where it says, a well-meaning man.
With the
you know
really
me.
Good memory.
Am I a well-meaning man? So, Wiggins created some of those things. I like some of them, but that one I don't usually press go on. But it was entertaining, Ethan. I like that you played that one because...
Why do you think I picked that one, huh?
Yeah, thank you. Okay, you teed me up, and I think that was effective. All right, we got everyone here except for Ethan. He is doing a great job back in the studio. He was with us last week, but we needed someone to hold down the fort and play those liners that make me laugh. But Sue Thomas is here, Jane Duker, Fred is here. One of the things I love about Fred this week, Sue, is last week, if you remember, when we were at Queen of All Saints and it wasn't raining, Fred had his rain jacket on. Today, when it's pouring and it's the worst storm we've had all year, he doesn't have his rain jacket on. But did you know that?
Yeah, it was a mistake.
All right.
But he's wearing his Sue's News shirt, which looks so cute.
He does have his Sue's News shirt on. Yeah. We had a group picture last week with our Sue's News shirts. George Gray was in that. It was fantastic.
So cute.
So Sue has a live Sue's News coming up here. We have Paul Hall with entertainment. I heard a rumor that Cusimano's coming by in person this afternoon. So we might see Frank in a little bit. Brad Young's going to visit with us in the next hour. Neil Gelman with the Gelman team, who lives very close to here. We might be able to loot his house after the show as well, depending on the status. He'll be by, and then we'll have audio cut of the day. But we have Robbie Montz here, who is the fish fry guru at St. Mary Magdalene. We're in Brentwood, right at the corner of Brentwood Boulevard in Manchester. Robbie, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank
Working
you guys
hard
for being
this
here.
Afternoon. Well, we really appreciate it. We love doing this. This is our fifth stop. We like to find what's unique at each fish fry. So what's on the menu? Sue's very excited. There's salmon.
You guys
we haven't
have
had salmon yet.
Oh, my gosh. And a dill sauce. And somebody came through and told me already, Rob, how great it is.
The dill sauce is amazing.
Yes!
So I will bring you some of that as soon as we're done.
Thank you.
So funny story. Everybody calls it salmon. I'm from New Orleans. For whatever reason, I call it salmon, and everybody makes fun of me.
Okay.
So I pronounce the long L.
Well, that's
so that's unique about us. We have salmon. We don't have salmon. We have salmon.
I'm going
I like the
yours.
Honesty,
yeah.
though.
Yeah. I do, too.
So no, but we have God's Cod. So we brand ourselves as God's Cod. So we have a two-cod meal, and you get two sides with it. We have mac and cheese. We have hush puppies. We have three-bean salad. We have green beans almondine, which are amazing.
See? Double green beans, Fred.
Exactly. So, and then we've
Tell
got fish tacos.
Oh, you have fish tacos, too?
Fish tacos. We got fish tacos. We've got shrimp.
We haven't had fish tacos yet, either.
We had them at one place. I might have eaten them before you got them.
Okay, maybe that's what happened.
Okay.
And I'm the hush puppy.
Hush puppy?
Yes.
Hush puppy. I'm going to bring it all out in a little while. We just started. We've been cooking. We have a drive-thru in the back. That makes us unique.
So not many
places have a drive-thru. Unfortunately, right now, we just shut it down with lightning.
Oh. Yeah.
We hope to restart it, but the inside's going to be open all night. So please come on out, support us, come inside.
You're serving at 4:30 until 7:30,
right? 4:30 to 7:30, yeah.
Nice. What kind of numbers do you usually get?
We do about 2,500 pieces of cod a week.
Okay,
and then you know, we probably serve about 1,500 plates or so.
Wow.
You know, yeah. That's so we're pretty. We do about 40% of our orders out of the back in the drive-thru, so that's going to hit us if we can't reopen it.
Especially in the rain. Because,
exactly.
Yeah, but so, maybe the lightning will go away.
We hope so. We can deal with the rain. It's the lightning.
But we always like to highlight some of the teams, Robbie, because all the people that volunteer, everybody at every fish fry that I've been at in the past few years is so enthusiastic. They love doing this. It's part of their life, right? Yep.
It is. So it takes about 75 of us to pull this off. And it's not just a Friday thing. I mean, it's weekends, you know, coming up to clean to make sure that we're not leaving the place a mess for Monday morning, you know, mm-hmm. with school. It's ordering over the weekend, receiving the order on Wednesday, coming up Wednesday night. We make gumbo on Wednesday night. We start on the mac and cheese process. Thursday, we're here, you know, probably till last night, I guess, you know, 9 o'clock or so was here.
Wow. Wait, you have gumbo too?
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Yeah.
I make that. So that's,
okay, that's
you make
it?
That's mine.
Because you're
I will
New
make
Orleans
that. Yes.
Guy.
It's,
that's
I
awesome.
Make about 10 gallons of gumbo.
Okay, we have to have some of that.
Oh, I'll bring it.
This is amazing.
That is amazing.
You are quickly rising to the top of the power rankings.
Wow. It's coming.
Okay. You see us getting excited.
I had a roommate many years ago. Radio guy that I was with, he was from Houma, Louisiana, and his sister and brother-in-law had a seafood shop, so he would come back with alligator tail and crawdads and shrimp, and he made, for a while in my life, I did have pretty good expertise at gumbo. I haven't tried it because the last time I think I burnt the roux. You don't want to burn the roux, right?
Burn the roux. I've never burned a roux, knock on wood. But it is a 45-minute process to make a roux.
Right,
especially the size of roux that we make for this,
for
10
gallons. See, I'm afraid of roux. I am afraid of roux.
Yeah, I am too. That's why I haven't tried it again for a while. Yeah. Because when you burn the roux and you don't know you burn the roux, that's a bad experience,
That is bad. Yeah.
And
that is bad.
What is roux?
Well, it's flour and oil.
It's flour and some kind of fat. So butter, oil, you know, we use butter.
And if you mess it up,
I should know.
It's
just rancid.
It is not good. Yeah.
Well, you don't really you don't have a Cajun accent. Did you grow up down there?
I did, yeah. I lived there. I've been in St. Louis for about 20 years, but I spent the first 20-something years
there. But you can't answer the high school question here, right?
I did not go to high school in St. Louis.
I'm surprised you're even allowed to exist, right?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
You get it a little more when you were younger, and it was always fun to just say the high school, and nobody knew what I was talking about.
They look at you, and they're like,
are you a Saints fan?
I am. Huge Saints fan.
Well, that's okay. That's
LSU,
wrong with
Saints,
that, right?
Yeah.
LSU, yeah. All right. Well, listen, Robbie, thank you so much. Great to get to know you and the team out here. We're very excited. We really do appreciate you having us. Yeah. We have a lot of fun with these. It gets us on the road. We get to meet a few people, and we get Jane out here to be heckled. I think that's
part
of our goal,
that's
too.
My job.
So we look forward to some of the food coming. I don't eat until after the show, but these guys will be distracted the whole time eating everything.
Yes. Yeah.
I promise you that.
We don't wait.
Thank you,
you're
Robbie
not going to go hungry. All right. Thank you guys very much.
Let's do Sue's News this afternoon, Ethan.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
You guys, it's National Picky Eaters Day.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so you and Fred should celebrate.
My wife is a picky eater. I am
not.
Oh,
you're right.
Becky's a picky eater.
Yeah. I like candy and chemicals.
She's like the Meg Ryan, Sue. She's at the restaurant. It's always, let's pick something else.
Can you,
yes, exactly.
Me too.
Well, you all can enjoy. I mean, I said I'm going to have double green beans with my salmon.
Salmon. I kind of like his saying.
I do, too. And Fred said, you could tell me how they are, because he won't eat the green beans.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh,
Fred,
I'm
on team anti-green bean,
let me tell you.
Really?
I love them.
They're wonderful. They're one of the
best vegetables. They taste terrible.
No.
What's the appeal?
No.
Next thing you're going to tell me lima beans are good or something like that.
I love lima beans.
Lima beans are awesome.
I mean, you give me some succotash, and
yes.
I am in
100%.
Thank you, Sue.
Well, I'm right here for you.
We bond. We bonded.
We did.
I'll eat sushi.
Oh, wait. Fred's mic's not on.
Yeah, we need Fred. We need the Hall of Famer.
I'll eat sushi before I will lima beans.
No.
That says a lot right there.
Sushi is not happening for me.
I will have to make you some. I'm thinking it might be in prep. No?
No.
Green beans? You don't eat them at a Chinese restaurant? They're fantastic.
Nope.
They're pan-fried with garlic and a little
bit of... Okay, wait a second. That's not too bad.
Okay.
That's not too bad.
Okay. We could even deep fry them for you.
Yes, we could.
Okay, but that's fine. But I'm just saying, the way that...
You usually make
green beans. It's like, no.
Well, okay. On this day in history, 61 years ago in 1964, the Beatles had the top five spots, all of them, on the Hot 100. Number five was Please Please Me. Number four, I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Yep.
Number three, She Loves You. Number two, Twist and Shout. And what was number one? Can you think of it out of all those?
Oh, at that time frame. I should know this.
I don't know.
Ethan.
I should know it too.
I was a fan. Oh,
sorry, standing there.
Can't find me love. I can't. It's hard for me to hear. Sorry.
Oh yeah. Can't find me love. Number one, and the Beatles having all five top spots. I personally love Twist and Shout just
That's
because of Ferris Bueller.
Absolutely.
You don't understand.
Bueller. Anyone?
Now, Mark, we do this one today because it's Springsteen. Bruce Springsteen will release seven new albums. Seven. New albums in June. He can probably explain it best. We do have him.
Yep. Oh, he's going to explain it?
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear it.
I often read about myself in the 90s as having some lost period or something. Not really. Really, I was working the whole time. During the pandemic, what I did for that period of time was I finished everything I had in my vault. So this is tracks two. The lost albums are records that were full records, some of them even to the point of being mixed and not released. For one reason or another, something I felt was missing from some of them, or they just didn't feel complete at the time. Over a period of time, I built up a small collection of full albums that, for one reason or another, never got put out.
This is interesting because, look, I'm a big part of the E Street community, and Trax is a Lost Vault type of album that came out a couple of decades ago, and the fan community has always known there's going to be a Trax 2. We did not know there were seven records that were recorded when the E Street Band was really not together, because the band broke up in the late 80s. He toured as a solo act. You know, it's funny. You know who was his bass player when he was touring in the early 90s?
No.
Randy Jackson from American Idol.
Oh,
remember
I
Randy
love
Jackson?
That.
He was the bass player in Springsteen's band when they weren't doing E Street Band. So as he indicated there, he's still recording. The reunion tour took place late in the 1990s, and ever since then, the band's been put together. But as he indicated, there was a big dead period where a lot of people, I think we assumed there wasn't a lot of music being made. We assumed incorrectly.
Yeah, you did. He said 83 previously unreleased tracks between 1983 and 2018, 74 of them have never been heard before.
See, that's different because in the first volume of tracks, there were a lot of songs that may have been released before, but they were different versions. They were maybe the first version. There's an acoustic Born in the USA, things along those lines.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, for the fan community, this is going to be interesting.
You know, if they found 83 Gilligan's Island episodes that no one had seen before,
I would be all
I'd
over
be just
that.
As excited as Mark is.
Okay,
right now.
Fred, let me just say this on the record. If that were the case, I'd even be more excited about that.
Oh, okay,
I would be more excited about that.
Who wouldn't be?
Yeah, exactly.
How many more great plot lines can they come up with? I'm not sure there's
That's
83
true.
Left in those.
Oh yes, there is.
Ugh. Glenn Powell is starring in a new version of The Running Man. Did you know this? They're remaking the old Arnold Schwarzenegger. That movie, by the way, was made in 1987. Okay, so Glenn gets the part. And he calls not Arnold, but Tom Cruise, so he could learn how to run. And Tom apparently said to him, quote, film yourself running as soon as possible. You don't look as cool as you think.
Oh, my. You know what?
You
that
know what?
Is so absolutely true.
Yes. But I never thought I looked cool running. But when you see...
It's worse.
It's worse. It's even worse than you think.
He's trying to get guidance so he doesn't look goofy running?
Correct.
Is that, okay.
Yes.
I mean, did you ever see Steven Seagal run?
Oh, it was not good.
It's not pretty. And you're like, dude, you're supposed to be like a superhero. No, no.
Yeah.
So that is very good advice.
It is good advice.
You know, when we were in Japan, I had to run alongside the tour guide to try and find someone.
You did.
And when I got back to the bus, my wife said, you look just like the tour guide running. Which, I mean, you know, I looked like a
tour guide.
65-year-old
Good
tour
for you,
well,
though,
you
volunteering,
you, that's
Fred.
Okay.
Yeah,
you
Fred,
looked
right.
like
I mean,
a Hall of Famer.
Oh,
thank
yeah,
you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Jane. He added, well, he said, besides running, Glenn also does practical stunts. He falls through ceilings, does the sewer, falls into sewers, jumps clear of explosions. He added, quote, "So look, I don't have the insurance plan to be Tom Cruise. I'm not trying to be Tom Cruise, but I will say I learned so much from him on how to properly do an action movie."
That's
and you
awesome.
Don't really think about how much of it includes running.
Yeah.
I don't think there'd be anyone better to give you a tutorial on that than Tom Cruise, right?
I agree. And Tom Cruise was at CinemaCon in Vegas yesterday, and he was presenting footage from his new Mission Impossible, which is The Final Reckoning. But before he started, he did a really nice tribute to Val Kilmer.
I heard about that, yeah.
And I thought that was really...
Those two, I went and looked at the last, that the you know, when he did the cameo.
Yes.
In the
in Maverick.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, I mean, I bawled my eyes out.
Right.
I mean, and you could tell that that was real.
Yes,
and
it was real.
I'm so glad they did that, because that lives now forever.
Ever. And it's a great punctuation to the whole series.
I agree. And Tom said, "I can't tell you how much I admired Val's work. And I admired his work and him as a human being.
Exactly.
How grateful and honored I was that he joined Top Gun and came back for Top Gun Maverick." And Jane's right. I watched that scene multiple times because it was real.
It was real. And you knew that what was happening there. And
exactly.
And it was lovely and touching.
He had everybody at CinemaCon do a moment of silence for Val. And they say it was really cute. It really, not cute, but touching.
Just touching. Yeah. Touching. So, yeah. Amazing.
For Jane, it's food.
Yes.
Instacart has released a list of the most popular Easter candies on their platform.
Ooh.
Shocking news. Peeps did not make the top 10.
Okay, you know what? Okay.
Shocking.
Uh-huh. Rigged. Okay, so I don't even believe
this
the voting
is the annual
now.
Peeps
okay,
debate.
Okay, listen to what is on here besides Peeps. I'm like, what? Number 10, Kinder chocolate candy eggs
sure.
with toys inside.
Sure.
Okay.
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 Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Number 8, Hershey's milk chocolate candy eggs.
Yeah, those are good.
I don't even know what that is. 8, Starburst jelly beans.
Oh, they're great. I can guarantee you I've had every single one of these.
Oh, my God.
Okay, proceed. Yes.
Starburst jelly beans are good.
Number
I'm
7, I do not like jelly beans. Fred?
No.
Yes, thank you.
Oh.
Number 7, Lindt milk chocolate bunnies.
Oh, they're nice. I mean, they're a little pricey. Yeah, they're good. Yeah.
Cadbury cream eggs gross me out.
No, love them.
They're not my favorite.
Number 4, Hershey's milk chocolate. Number 3, Cadbury chocolate mini eggs. Number 2, Reese's peanut butter cups.
Yeah.
Hello.
That's the one.
Sorry, the bell's
that's
broken.
The
and I got
is
no
Is the
Ethan.
Bell broken?
Well,
oh,
I got it
go.
Back.
All right.
And finally, number 1 would be Reese's peanut butter eggs.
Yes.
You know, the
yeah.
peanut butter cup
no
eggs.
Question.
Those are awesome. But
okay.
No Peeps, Jane.
So,
I'm
no,
sorry.
No, Peeps got screwed. I found a new flavor.
What?
I found a new flavor. I always find a new flavor.
Feet?
No. Rice Krispie Treat Peeps.
Well, that's
so
a good,
good
idea, but how do they
so
work
good.
That? Is it like...
I don't know, but they taste like Rice Krispie Treat Peeps.
All right, well, that's fantastic.
I'm going to... I give my annual Peeps to Mark. I
yeah,
always get them
Alexa
some.
Alexa tends to like them. Look, yeah. Some part of me has to defer to Jane every once in a while because she turned me on to the Apple Jacks Pop-Tarts, and
oh,
those
yeah.
are my favorite things
yes.
ever.
Best thing that ever happened.
It really is.
And you have to search for them now.
Do you really?
I find them at the Walmart in High Ridge, Jane.
There you go.
They always are stocked up out there,
there's
let me tell
a,
you.
There is a run-on Apple Jack's Pop-Tarts.
Must be a suburban thing, right? You're in the city now. I don't know.
I'm in the city. I'm held together by chemicals, and I don't want to upset that delicate balance.
I understand.
Hey, look who's joining us for
Hi,
the
Frank
latter
Cusimano.
Part of Sue's News. Frank Cusimano in person. How are you?
Really great to be here. God, it smells so good.
I know. It's hard not to be starving.
Have you guys come up with obviously this would be in your top five, but this would, have you come up with a list of
well, we told, we had Robbie that was here from the Fish Fry. He's kind of in charge, and I told him he was at the top of the power rankings. No offense to the other fish fries, but they have gumbo and salmon.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's from Louisiana, so it's like real gumbo. It's like good gumbo.
He calls it salmon,
time.
Frank. Salmon. So he knows what's up.
He pronounces the L.
Oh,
yeah.
Look at that.
Oh,
he's showing. Oh, look at that. That gum. That whole box might be home
with
me here.
Now he's flexing.
I know. Yeah, that's right.
He is flexing now.
Oh, my gosh.
And I give you all credit.
He's dunking on Our Lady of the Pillar right now.
He really is. I mean, wow.
Well, Frank, hang out. We're going to let Sue wrap up Sue's News, and then we'll do some entertainment stuff here this afternoon as well.
Sounds good. And finally, in Sue's News, we have today's random fact. Something I hadn't thought about, but isn't that surprising? Aerosmith made more money in royalties off the video game Guitar Hero Aerosmith than they made from any of their actual albums.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes!
I believe that, too.
Pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
And that's it for Sue's News.
Thank you, Sue. A live Sue's News out here at St. Mary Magdalene in Brentwood. It's right at the corner of Manchester and Brentwood. We're coming back. We have Paul Hall and Entertainment and Cusimano live here at the Fish Fry. Come see us. We have a lot of folks coming out and saying hi here at the table. We are serving the entrance of St. Mary Magdalene. They're serving fish right now. It just got going. The lines are out the door. Luckily, not outside because it is raining quite heavily. Frank Cusimano is here live. He's going to join us in just a few minutes. But first, Paul Hall on Entertainment. Jane's out here live talking to the fans. Sue Thomas as well. Jane, you can participate in the show.
There you go.
Jane, will you participate in the show, the actual show going on?
I mean,
you're addressing the fans. I get it.
The fans,
but we are doing
so,
a live radio show as well.
Yeah.
Paul Hall's going to join us. He's going to talk some movies. Let's start with this one, Minecraft.
In the overworld,
whoa,
anything you can dream about, you can create.
So they built all this?
Yeah, most of it.
Life here was perfect. Until one day, Flint and Steel, we came across the Nether.
If they get their way,
this beautiful world and everything in it will wither and die.
Okay, Paul Hall. Look, I was looking at this movie today because it's not very nice here in St. Louis. You're up north, and it's going to rain all weekend. I thought, you know, maybe we need to go to the movies. Let's look at Minecraft. And I looked at Rotten Tomatoes, and it was at 50% or something like that. How are you, and what did you think of Minecraft?
Here's a question for you, Mark. Have you played Minecraft?
I never have. I'm not a gamer.
Therefore, I would say I saw the movie, so you don't have to. If you have played Minecraft, however, the raucous love of this movie while I was in the theater seeing it was something to behold, actually. The fans of the movie seem to like the characters the way they're portrayed. They are corny, they're goofy, they're off the wall. What's so kind of is Minecraft. I think the movie works from that standpoint. Jack Black works as Steve. He's the classic character that kind of takes over in Minecraft. The ancillary characters are the best. The creepers and the chicken jockey. If you know, you know. That's all I'm going to say about that. Chicken jockey had me laughing a little bit. But if you haven't seen Minecraft, I don't think you need to rush out because I think there'll be a lot of questions, question marks in your head as things go on screen. Otherwise, if you have someone to see it with, I took my daughter, and my daughter at 20, she grew up with Minecraft, and she filled me in on all the holes, and she had a good time with it. And the people, like I said, the people in the crowd kind of responded a lot of ways, like, you know, back in our day, the Rocky Horror crowd, where they were cheering certain areas that came up and just really getting into the movie, which was cool to see. Just was not my cup of tea. A Minecraft movie.
I've had a rule against any movie that's made out of a video game, just standard rule. So I get that this is an easy way for Hollywood to make money. You got Jack Black and Jason Momoa here, but didn't seem to be interesting to me. And this makes me less likely to want to go out into the theater this weekend. What else do you have, Paul?
Let's talk about a new one in theaters as well called The Friend, starring Naomi Watts and Bill Murray.
Okay, yeah.
Quite
this,
a combo.
I want to hear about this.
Yeah, I find this pairing interesting, so tell me if this one's any good.
This one's the story of a writer who has a mentor. In this case, I'm not giving anything away. I don't think that Bill Murray is the mentor for Naomi Watts. And she ends up with his Great Dane. Now, imagine this, Mark. You're living in a New York City apartment, and someone says, we want you to take the Great Dane into your little tiny New York City apartment. It doesn't work out quite that well. However, the whole thing about it is it's not about a Great Dane. It's not about New York. It's a story of two friends and kind of coming to grips with things that have gone on, kind of facing healing together. And anyone who's owned a dog will see their dog in this character. Even if you've got a little small dog or a dog that dwarfs a Great Dane, which there aren't many, you will see kind of the characteristics of the dog. So it's kind of a cool dog movie, but it's more a movie about life and about getting over and coping with the struggles that happen to everybody. I like The Friend a lot. This is the exact antithesis of the Minecraft movie. The adults are going to go see The Friend, and the kids will go see the Minecraft movie. You can all go to the theater and have a good time.
Excellent. We're going to kind of cut you a little bit shorter this afternoon because we have our friend Frank Cusimano out here live, but is there anything else you have recommendation-wise?
Yeah, recommendation-wise, I would say if you want to get back into history, I love history, go over to Hulu through the National Geographic Channel. There's a great three-part documentary on Oklahoma City. We're coming up on 30 years this year on that one.
Yeah, wow. I would want to see that.
Yeah, I would like to see that, too.
Footage throughout that you like. And, you know, with Val Kilmer passing this week, my friends over at Remind Magazine, and I linked it up on my Twitter feed to where you can find his movies, because obviously when people pass, the first thing you want to do is find where you can see some of those old titles. It's personal for me when you get to people like Val Kilmer and before that Gene Hackman. These are the people that kind of crafted who I became as a film person when it came to kind of what I grew up with. And Kilmer's movies are that. I would say go back to the old comedies, Real Genius and Top Secret, especially now that Naked Gun released their new trailer this week. Great kind of old-style humor that, you know, might not make it today, but it definitely did in the mid-'80s.
Awesome. Paul, awesome. Tell folks where they can find your reviews.
CommonGuy.com, and I see Frank there. Hi, Frank. How you doing?
He's watching on the cameras here. He's doing great. Thank you, Paul Hall. We'll talk next Friday from another Fish
Fry. Take care, my friend.
We're going to be in Millstadt, Illinois. We'll take a break here. Ethan's back in the studio. Sue's got traffic. We're coming back with Frank Cusimano live at St. Mary Magdalene in Brentwood. A whole lot of people that I would trust running my board because I run my own board. But Ethan Hannaford is doing a great job. You have no idea how much that matters to me because having things run very well. And Matthew Rocchio is out here in doing an outstanding job as well. So our support team is very important. We have Frank Cusimano live at our fish fry this afternoon in person. He's been signing autographs. It's amazing he can step to the table and talk with us. How are you, Frank?
I owe a lot of people money, so they were just asking when I'm going to pay them. Yeah. Oh, it's an honor to be here. And I had some of that shrimp. Unbelievable.
Oh,
and we hear the gumbo is unbelievable, too.
So. Yeah, so, yeah, I saw there's a bunch of gumbo for us. I'm so excited about that.
Oh, I can't
real
wait.
Real Louisiana gumbo.
Yeah. Absolutely.
This is not your father's fish fry.
I know right. The Cardinals are in action. We'll get to that in a second. But we have to talk about the Blues. One of the things that I said earlier on the show is I started the morning. I watched that game last night. I tuned in right as they went into the tie, and then they go in the overtime and they win. But I look on ESPN this morning, and you would think that that would be on their top list because, Frank, I've made the case. I think you would agree. This is one of the best stories in the country right now.
Yeah, well, you've just matched the Winnipeg Jets for the longest win streak in the NHL this season. It should be like lead story on SportsCenter.
Thank you.
Yeah. I will say this. I was in the locker room last night after Robert Thomas scored his goal, and Robert had a really interesting thing to say. He said the difference between now as opposed to the beginning of the season is that we're patient. We know that if we trust and don't get rattled, we can trust our game plan, what Jim Montgomery has been telling us for about a month now, we're going to win the game.
Oh, wow.
And they go into they go into that locker room at 5 o'clock or 4:30 when they arrive. They know they're going to win the game.
That's amazing.
It's a rare moment in time. So.
Well, I mean, and it's such a change. I mean, yeah. Whatever sauce they're mixing. It's incredible.
On the topic of Winnipeg, do they have them tomorrow?
No, they have them on Tuesday.
Okay.
And they have Colorado tomorrow.
Okay.
So to break the record, you're going to have to beat a great team tomorrow.
Yes.
But the recipe, though, is besides some of this young talent emerging, is Jim Montgomery and his positivity. I mean, every time you're around him, you just feel better about your life. And I asked him where it came from. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but he said that one time, it's all about his mom. And one time when the family dog died and they're just all the kids are just completely devastated. Everybody's up in their room crying. And she yells up, come on down. And she has sundaes prepared for all of them with caramel and chocolate sauce. And just any type of like thing you can put on a sundae. We're going to party today. We're going to have a great time. And and that's how he's approached life.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's awesome.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can't even imagine being there in person because you can just see it watching the game last night, the excitement.
It was
and the
so
fans,
fun.
The fans, you know, buy into. They know that they can win. Nobody gives up on this team right now.
No, they don't. And they're like the similarities between this and 2019 is
eerie.
You have a goaltender who has this knockout swagger about him. You have a fourth line who's every time they go out there, they make life hell for the opposition. And then you just have a bunch of young stars emerging. The bad news is this. Dylan Holloway is hurt.
Yeah,
it's a lower body injury, and nobody knows for sure. They say he's going to miss two games for sure. I don't think anybody misses just two games. Let's just hope he's healthy for the playoffs.
Yes. I mean, I was worried about that. That's the one thing I was really worried about.
Well, let's talk about the Cardinals. They were in Boston for the Red Sox home opener today. This was quite an affair, not quite back and forth, but the Cardinals did climb back into this game, but then they ended up getting blown out in the end, didn't they?
They did, but they still made a comeback. And I think the final was 13-9. And think about this. They've now begun the season, seven straight games where they've gotten 10 or more hits. That the last time that happened was 1956. So, you know, I think the over-under on the Cardinals was 76. I think if you've watched this team for seven games, you think this is at least a 500 team.
Right.
They're better than 76. Now they're going to have to solve some of these pitching issues, and they have to wait, Mark, 10 games before they make a pitching roster move. And then they're going to go to Memphis, and you'll see a Michael McGreevy or a Riley O'Brien or a Gordon Graceffo, because that bullpen is getting the hell beat out of them right now. So, but, man, they can hit.
Is that that's a league rule? With
yes.
Okay, that's interesting. I didn't know that. But yeah, look, they're a fun team to watch when the offense and you see them. It's enjoyable baseball. We haven't seen that in a while, right? So if they can keep competing, I think the fans will be with them. But, Frank, we'd be remiss in our duties if we didn't point out that no one's been at that stadium outside of opening day.
I think the Wednesday game, this is what an usher told me, who probably has more inside knowledge than all of us. He said that he felt there was 7,000 to 8,000 there. That's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the 70s, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah. I think Bob Forsh threw a no-hitter once with like 6,000 or 7,000 watching. But you're right. That's historical. But, you know, it's like in the movie Rocky, the way to change the narrative, what Adrian told them, win. And you just keep winning, and I think they will, and they're going to draw a little better. But I think the narrative all off season was reset and not make a move so people aren't buying tickets. But you win some games and people come up.
So yeah, I agree with that.
What's your concern with the pitching right now? Because we've had, look, even Michaelis had a pretty good outing, didn't he?
Well, it's not the starting pitching that I'm concerned about as
right
much.
Now?
Yeah. And, you know, with the exception of Helsley, right now you're a little bit concerned about all of them. But you're right about the starting pitching. I mean, Michaelis was good. Sonny Gray was just two batters away from having another magnificent outing. Fetty wasn't great today, but they squeezed him, you know, early on in the first inning that cost him. So we'll see. And Libertor was pretty good the other day, too. So.
Well, it gives us some hope, let's face it,
yeah.
Because you're, what, 4-3 to start the season? Could have been much worse than that, and I think the fans, to your point, will come back if, in fact, the Cardinals continue to win. What are you seeing out there in the college basketball world? We'll get to the games this weekend, but the transfer portal hasn't quite heated up completely yet, right? It's a little quiet. Challenges on all kinds of teams right now. Even Illinois, they lost a few. Brad Underwood, didn't he?
They did. They retained Boswell, though, today. Locally, let me just say this, and quietly, SLU has had the best 72 hours in the history of their portal because they've gotten four guys, and they can all play. Most of them average between 13 and 17 points a game.
Wow.
And they got a transfer from Xavier also. So Josh Schertz, with the help of Troy Robertson and the Billiken Victory Fund, they've just signed players back.
That's great to hear.
Mizzou is still in the early stages. They got Porter. But here's the thing. I'm not worried about Mizzou because they have so much money, and Gates is such an unbelievable recruiter. I think they're going to be okay before.
Hey, by the way, speaking of money and all that stuff, we were talking off the air. Jane's daughter is doing great work at Alabama and in the athletic department. Would have been at the Final Four if Alabama would win. But I heard a rumor this week. Is Nate Oates looking at a different gig because he's not happy with the NIL money going to football and not basketball?
No. That was all fake news. There was talk. Somebody came out and said he was looking at Maryland.
Maryland, right.
And he came out and said, no way. Yeah. He is really happy.
I think if he ever were to leave, it would be for an NBA job because he has that type of mindset, that modern game. And
yes,
I think
he'd
be a big hit in the league. But I don't think he's leaving for, you know, college.
I mean, he's developing NBA players.
Yeah.
I mean, he is, and he knows how to do it.
I don't necessarily have a rooting interest this weekend outside of the fact that I do love Coach Pearl because I used to know him when he was back at UWM in Milwaukee.
Really?
So
I bet you loved him then because the media always loves Bruce Pearl.
Well, he was fantastic. He came in every Friday night on WTMJ, the station I worked on, did a show before mine with our sports guys. So he was great to get to know.
Great
then he went to Tennessee. And he had a great run. So I do like Coach Pearl. He brings a lot of energy. But can anyone beat Duke?
No, I don't think so.
That's the problem.
Florida.
Right?
Can Florida?
No.
No?
You know,
I hate Duke.
Think about this for a second. They are not going to put a starter on the floor
I mean,
that's under
brutal.
6 foot six. I mean, I don't know if NBA teams can say that.
Right. No, they can't.
It's crazy. And throw in the fact that they have four and maybe five first-round draft picks. You know, I was just reading today, Cooper Flagg, just about 3 hours ago, was named the Player of the Year in college basketball.
He should have been.
He has a twin brother.
What? Yes,
he does. Could you imagine being
hit?
And he plays basketball. He's going to go to the University of Maine. But could you imagine that poor kid? It's like being like Brad Pitt's brother.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're Cooper Flagg's twin brother, and you're a basketball player, and you're going to play in Maine, and the other, your brother, who has the same, like,
that's got to be tough. That has got to be tough.
It's like
right?
being a Hurley. Sorry.
You're right.
Well, Kuzmano, thank you so much for coming out and seeing us in person. It was awesome to see you.
Yeah, we are honored.
Typically, really cool. You're on a green somewhere putting when you call us if the weather's nice.
You can
tell from
the wind in the background.
Yes, we can, right?
I try to hide it, but yes.
I'm not playing pickleball against you tomorrow. Our friend, the King, Jeff Drew, has invited me to Bedell and Pickle,
but you're
not on the calendar, are you?
I did not get the invite.
He's too good for me. That's the thing. This guy, like, he and his wife Monique Cole, they're exceptional players.
Yeah,
that's what I hear.
Yeah,
thank
pros.
You so much for coming. I mean, for having me come here. It's awesome. I really enjoyed it. I love being a part of the show. I'd like to see in person, too.
Anything coming up on Sunday night we need to know about?
Yeah. I'm going right now. I'm going to the rink. John Elway is in town for Kelly Chase's Puck Cancer Night, and we're going to sit down with one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
That's
so
cool.
One time I was on the rail at the Kentucky Derby. It was Oaks Day, and I had media credential. I had a suit on and everything, and there are these women, and they're like trying to take a picture. And I didn't think they were taking a picture of me, but I didn't know what was going on. And then they start shooing me off. They're like, move. It was John Elway standing right next to me, old horse face at the Kentucky Derby. And I didn't even realize it at the time. Anyway, there's my John Elway story. Frank, great to see you. Jane, you're going to hang out. Brad Young's coming up. He's going to talk with us.
Excellent.
Sue's going to be here. Of course, Fred, the Hall of Famer. Matthew Rocchio is doing great work out here for us on the remote. And then Ethan Hannaford in the studio. We'll take a break. We're coming back with much more. One more hour at St. Mary Magdalene in Brentwood, right at the corner of Manchester and Brentwood.
Get more at 971talk.com.